And now, Icon Art Radio, brought to you by Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.
Hi, this is Bill Teeple, and I'm here with Alan Cobb, and we're the hosts of Icon Art Radio. We're here today with Robert Horline, who is an artist that lives here in Fairfield and has shown all over the country over the last 30 years his artwork, and he's one of our favorite veteran artists of our community. And he's having a show that's going on right now in the Mills Gallery at Central College in Pella, Iowa. There will be a, rather than an opening reception, which we are more familiar with, sometimes galleries will have closing receptions, and that's this case. The closing reception with an artist talk will be on November 2nd at 7 o'clock at the college. Apparently, if you go right into the center of Pella, Iowa, you can't miss the college, and once you get there, the gallery is easy to find. So we're really happy to have you here, Bob.
Thank you.
Robert is his official art name, but we like to call you Bob.
Everybody calls me Bob.
Well, this is a funny show because it's an art show, and we have a long-standing joke in the last in the whole long month-long time we've been on the air. But it is a long-standing joke ever since we discussed the show, and that's that we talk about pictorial visual art on the radio. So the joke is, Alan, what do you think about this interesting pink and green here?
I particularly like that section on the left.
I like the section down on the
oh,
bottom.
Oh, you're right.
I think
you're
that's
right.
A lovely passage.
That's more interesting. Yeah.
And the color in general is really
oh, yeah,
fabulous.
Yeah. Also,
okay,
that texture.
Okay, well, we made our point. The listener is left out of an art talk on the radio, so we do our best to try to fill it in for the viewer, the listener, and mental viewer. How would you describe your work to someone who cannot see it, to introduce them to the nature of the of your body of work?
That's an interesting idea, actually, because always you're talking about paintings in front of them and you're pointing at them. So how to do that without being able to see it? These paintings involve photographs of flowers. I think everyone in the show involves photographs. What it is a painting that's made up of paint, but embedded in it is one or more photographs, and in this case, photographs of flowers. The reason I used an image, I'm an abstract painter in general. What that means is that in general, my paintings don't have a representation of anything specific in the painting. Even though my contention is that all paintings are representational because it's a representation of some inner mental sort of image, but not something in the outer world. This time I included something from the outer world, but then I heavily and very actively painted it, altered it, changed it, covered it, colored it, and made it quite different than the original photograph. The photographs were in black and white. The color comes from the paint, and the paint is meant to take an image of something that we know, like a flower, which is something very ephemeral, very delicate, and very easily and very touchable, and take that and then with paint work it and change it and smush it and maybe pound it and push it in a certain way, in order to say something else about images and something else about flowers and something else about those tactile sorts of feelings. The paint for me is also a very tactile thing in a way, but then the paint goes on smooth, it goes on delicately or not, it can go on in a lot of different ways, and then it dries and keeps a record of that. And so, to describe these paintings, I'd say that they're photographs underneath a lot of paint. The paint changes the photographs, makes the meaning and feeling of the whole image very different than the photograph where it started.
Well, I think it's a remarkable body of work. I've watched these paintings unfold and emerge from your more totally abstract field paintings. The addition of the representational element from nature, the flowers, a lot of them are irises. What I love to do with my mind is I like to teeter between the totally abstract enjoyment of form and color and qualities of paint and the delicacy of the real image. And I found that my mind goes more to the image that's peeking through the paint of the flowers, I see all those elements of the form of the flower in the same way I'm looking at the abstract elements in the paint. So it makes me much more wakeful in the abstract beauty, visual beauty of the flower, just as visual element. And then I also notice that when I look at the more just painterly blobs of paint that are creating various qualities of form, that I'm seeing qualities of floral meaning in that. And I'd say it's really fun to just stand in front of these things and take a trip.
Well, it's interesting that you say blobs of paint. I use that word a lot too. And I, as you know from knowing my paintings over the years, that I really believe in the paint and what it can do. And a lot of times I do nothing much. I say I do nothing, but actually it involves a lot of doing to let the paint do what it does. And for instance, I'll pour the paint on, then I'll nudge it around a little bit, let it run one way, let it do this the other way. And I usually end up toying around with it, but basically it's the action of gravity on fluid, allowing the paint to do what it does. And these paintings are like that too. It's really important to me that a painting, even the word painting, is about paint. It's not about so much virtuosic technique. It's not about, do I have the best of brushes? I don't even use brushes oftentimes. It's often about the paint and allowing it and encouraging it to do what it wants to do. I learned this, but Bill, you and I have had this discussion over the years, but I learned this by watching the floor of my studio. And as I'm painting this wonderful painting, and I'm doing things, and I'm thinking about things, and I'm doing this, and then I'm feeling it, and I'm doing this, and then I look at the floor, and then I look at the painting, and I look at the floor, and the floor is better than the painting. I think the reason that happens is because it was not only pure chance, but it was pure without intention, without mental intention. It was allowed to happen there, where on the painting, the mind, the thinking mind, the rational analyzing mind can really get in the way. I know it's a theme that you talk a lot about in your art classes.
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk. But that's what I'm, one of the things that I love about your work is that it manages to integrate these two extremes of the human intellect getting in the way and nature just being nature. And you're working with the forces of nature, qualities of paint, your own human intelligence, divine intelligence as it operates through the human. And it's coming out in some kind of an equilibrium that is a beautiful experience. What I really like about your work, one way of talking about what I like about your work is that when I look at your work, and this is describing the experience that I just talked about, I have it's the same experience as when you walk down a riverbed and you're picking up pebbles and you're not any longer caught in some kind of like intellectual art world where you're applying your artistic discrimination and how you feel about it and everybody's position in the art world and all of these elements that normally come into play when you're in an art gallery. But I can be in an art gallery looking at your work and the experience is just the same and as innocent and pure as walking down a riverbed, picking up pebbles and looking at them and being completely just blown away by the beauty. And that's kind of the experience I have with looking at your work.
Well, that's a great compliment. I think my work isn't like those pebbles in the sense that it happened through me. And I would be glad and proud if I could make those pebbles.
But you come somebody close else to anyone, did that. I think, as achieving that integration. And yet it's not the pebbles. That's the cool thing, is that it's actually come through a complete human nervous system, and it's so, which makes it more than pebbles, and yet it, I don't know. I don't know how to describe that experience, but it's, you're on to something.
Well, it's not like the pebbles in that it, there's also this mental intellectual choice element about the making of it. And try though I might, and I have tried very directly sometimes to get away from that and to have no mind in it. I've tried to just let my hands do it. I've painted in the dark, for instance, where I can't see what I'm painting, so that I can't think, oh, if I put a little bit there, it'll balance that thing there. And basically that approach hasn't quite worked, although I still think it has promise. What has worked is a combination of both kinds of input. And this is what I want to talk about in my talk up at the college here in a couple weeks, is it's sort of a duality about the being of a painting, just what it is, and what it is by virtue of allowing it to be made by forces of gravity and fluidity and the material elements that you're putting into it. So that on the one hand, and on the other hand, the idea of what your mind is making it and what you're thinking about it and the whole sort of mental input, it's sort of the meaning being duality as I see it. And I intuitively I think that probably the best paintings have both things. And in what balance, I don't know. That's all directed by feeling. And you have to, and this is the process of making a painting for me, and I expect for many other people, is that you feel a little bit this way and a little bit that way, and then you take it back a little that way, and then you go that way, gets a little darker, gets a little lighter, gets a little waterier, gets a little more distinct. And those kinds of directions seem important at the time, and I think they are important, because when I've worked against those kinds of directions, I've basically come out with things that aren't interesting to look at. And so that's the way it's done. But how do you actually evaluate it afterwards? How important is it? I think it's very important that a painting mean something as well as be something. And yet, how are its meaning and its being connected? And what's the, and how do we think about all that? I come up with a lot more questions than answers about this.
Well, the creative act is so mysterious.
It seems mysterious in that I don't know how to describe it very well. I sort of know when I'm doing it, I know whether it feels good or not, and that's my criteria of whether it's good. And I don't always know if it looks good or not, because I look at something and I think it looks really great, and then a minute later I think it looks terrible and I change it. So that's not a very reliable thing. So the feeling aspect, I think, is a more reliable guide. But I don't know how to describe it
very well. Are you going for something? Like when you launch into a painting, is there a, or is it you're always going for the same thing, painting after painting, and you're getting closer and closer somehow? Or is there a kind of an intention before you launch on a particular painting? Because it sounds like the meaning level you're talking about is more than something can be analyzed, as that he's rendered trees well. So, you know, or that it's a picture of a historical scene, and all of his art had a meaning of that sort in a century ago. But as soon as we jumped off the edge of the earth with the dawning of the modernist period, then we were into the meaning of life itself, the meaning of human existence, and what goes on inside the artist's intelligence as he's operating. And that opened up just a a Pandora's box of possibilities for the artist. And we've gone all over the place to the point that a person can do almost anything and call it art today. So that makes it even more a charge on the artist to find meaning within himself as he's making the work of art. It's this whole discussion that we're bringing up here is really quite fascinating.
In a way, the artist nowadays, by simply making a work of art, is helping to or asserting his personal definition of what art is. You know, it's no longer picture making, and I'm not sure historically when it stopped being picture making. Maybe the cubists, or I guess the abstract expressionists, but it's so tied up nowadays in process, or at least in what we locally refer to as the post-postmodern era. How do you see your art fitting in to that continuum? Are you as interested in having a piece express something that's happening in you as you are in evoking something in the viewer, or are those dimensions that aren't really part of your process?
Well, as far as it relates to process, I think I don't know what'll evoke what in the viewer, really. I can sort of guess at it because I've talked to a lot of viewers and I value that input. But it all, in the studio, it really has to do with how it feels to me. And how it feels to me, I suppose, can't be separated from all the inputs and outputs and various things that I've been through and thought about. And, you know, all of that's all tangled in there. And the only criteria that I have in a practical sense, in an operational sense, when making something is about, does it feel right to go this way or that way? Why it feels right or wrong would be, it would delay the whole process to ponder on it too much.
Right.
And yet here we are in words sort of pondering on it, and I think there is value to it, but especially later on. But as far as what a work means, one thing that I feel is important to me is that I'm not interested in making work that's separate from the world or perfected and cleaned up out of the world. I feel rather the other way, that I'd like to drag in everything from the world, dirty rags and ashes and pieces of wood and chunks of this and that, drag that into the painting too, and see if I can work through the world and come out with something that feels good and might feel beautiful, pleasing, meaningful, expressive of some value, which I think some positive value. I don't have any desire to make things with negative value. But I want to do it through bringing stuff together and through the sort of muck of the world rather than being out of that. And I think that's a kind of a postmodern attitude. A lot of classical modernism was to clean up from all that and get rid of all that useless stuff and get at the heart of it. I guess I'm trying to get at the heart of it by getting at it through all this stuff. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me, because I'm going through something that seems awfully similar in my work with sound. And we've talked about this before, and even now the things you're saying are even more kind of uncannily, synesthetic variations on what I'm doing. It's as though we're doing exactly the same thing, only I'm working in sound. Because I stripped things down to the essentials for a while, but I wasn't interested in, you know, making a room full of sine waves or something, which would be a very postmodern thing to do. And I'm really more interested in, as you as you put it, what sounds right as I'm doing it. But at the same time, I'm working in a totally abstract kind of technical environment with synthesis and editing tools and things. And I find more and more I need to bring back in the material of the real world. I'm doing more and more live recording and introducing small elements of that into these synthetic environments. And they were only synthetic environments because I couldn't find real environments that were elemental enough to examine what I wanted to examine. But I see something very similar in your paintings. They're textures, but they're not just textures. They're on that dividing line Bill was talking about between something, totally abstract and something that's actually reminiscent or reflective of something in the real world, but you don't know what. So you're sort of plucking chords of familiarity and letting us savor those sensations without having to be overshadowed by very specific meanings. And then in the work that I'm seeing more recently, you've got real images, but they're not obviously real images, not real in the sense of being, photographic in origin. But as you look at them, you find that maybe that's not a flower, maybe that's just another, blob of paint. And maybe that's not a blob of paint at all, but it's actually a flower. And maybe the background isn't a background, maybe it's really the whole point, and the flower is just a shadow on it, and so on. And these ambiguities, if that's what they are, is they're what make a painting something you look at instead of glancing at it. You spend time with it and you have an interaction with it, and it changes you, and as you change, your perception of it changes. So in a sense, you're changing it, and that's not a question.
No, I think you really are walking this fine line between what you said, being and meaning. I find that very interesting. And we've been talking around this, but the paintings themselves are definite actual entities in front of our face that are presenting this dialogue to us. And they're rich. They're full. And I love your work. Did you have something to say?
Yeah. Maybe one of the keys somewhere when you were talking, Alan, you said about it is a picture of something, but you don't know exactly what. And I think I'm paraphrasing that slightly wrongly, but the idea is, and I think that's an important idea, that an abstract painting is a painting of something, but you don't exactly know what on the surface. But you do know what at some level.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly where I'm interested in exploring. These paintings, for instance, are paintings that involve images of flowers, but they're not really about the flower. They're really about the interaction of a kind of flowerness and a kind of paint and a kind of a way of dealing with an image. And that's what I'm interested in, because I think there's a possibility of delivering a more direct emotional or a feeling level response to the painting that's more direct than, oh, that's a picture of a flower, it's a beautiful flower, therefore I have that feeling. Maybe you could just deal the feeling and leave out the rest of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing, and that's what makes your work so fascinating.
That's what I'm trying to do. It's another thing I think we always have to say about any artwork, and I think, Alan, you would agree, is that the way I would say it is that it's a journey and a quest. And Bill, you asked a while ago if I'm trying to paint the same painting or if I'm painting different paintings.
I never gave you a chance to answer that question.
Well, in a way, I think we all try to paint the same painting again and again. And the more you try, maybe you get a little closer and you never really paint the painting that you're trying to paint. You paint, I talk to myself with what I call the 90% rule. And that is that if my painting looks 90% like what I think it should be, then it's done. And then I go on to the next one, because I never, usually if I take my 90% painting and try to get another 6 or 8% out of it, it invariably falls flat. And because I just don't think you can get to 100, and it gets mental, it gets out of the feeling, and it gets off on some side issue.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. Bill, why don't you remind our listeners
All right. Once again, Bob's show is at the Mills Gallery at Central College in Pella, Iowa. There will be a closing reception at 7 o'clock at, with an artist talk. Now, the reception and the artist talk will be right there in the gallery, or will they be in a separate?
The artist talk is in a separate auditorium, which is right, it's in another building right next to the gallery. I don't remember, I've been in that building before, but I don't remember exactly how to get there, but there will be directions at the gallery. If you ask anybody on campus where the art building or the Mills Gallery is, they'll know. And there will be directions there saying, you know, go south 100 feet in building such and such.
Well, I'm sure that they will find it easily.
In the center. That's the way there. To find it. It's a small
place. But let me bring out that there's not, that the show will be open. You can go to the Mills College anytime between now and then and see the exhibit, even if you can't come to the reception.
Right. It's open regular hours, Monday through Friday, and I'm not sure about Saturday.
Well, thank you very much for being our guest today. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.